The Almighty did a lot. Okay, we're gonna begin on Tes Yud Amud Aleph, 10a, about a dozen lines from the top. Lisni. Last week we brought you a brisa, which we're going to go over today to get everybody on the page, as it were. And then we're going to discuss who this brisa is going according to. Oh,
it
I didn't.
It is.
I didn't put the thing on. There's too many things for me to remember to do.
See the little thing in the
bottom? Okay. Okay, good. There we go. There's a lot of little steps we have to make. All right? So, Yod Amud Beis, about 12 lines from the top. First word on the line, Velisni. It'll probably be 10A2, I'm guessing.
It's 10A1.
Still 10A1.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Now, let's just quickly go over in our notes. Let's see, we got the right Gemara. Yes, I got the right Gemara. All right, the way I see the central issue, although that's up for discussion, and I can happily amend it if somebody thinks it's not good, is according to which opinion does the following brisa follow? The brisa has some author. Which opinion would it be following? That's the best I could come out of this brisa. And now, let's review the brisa that we did on Thursday. The brisa says three statements. We're dealing with the three of the avos of Nezikim of Shor, Bor, and Esh, which is an ox that gores, a pit, and fire. And they're talking about stringencies in halakha that one case has over the others. So we start by saying there are stringencies of an ox over a pit and vice versa. The stringencies of an ox over in a pit, an ox, which is a muad, pays kofar if it kills a person, that's the value of a person. And it pays 30 shekalim if it kills a slave. Also, one may not benefit from an ox sentenced to be killed. Once it's sentenced to be killed, even the owner can have no benefit of the body. And its nature is to move and damage. And I added, and the owner is responsible even if the ox traveled a great distance to damage. That's the strictness as an ox has over a pit. What's the stringencies of a pit over an ox? A pit is prone to damage from the beginning, which means where the owner has responsibility for creating even a small hole. Even a very small hole, you're ready chayiv for that. And also, the another important difference is a pit is a muad from the beginning, paying the full damage, which an ox does not. That's the first statements between ox and pit. Second statement of the brisa. There are stringencies of an ox over a fire and vice versa. Stringencies of an ox over in a fire, again, an ox pays kofar and 30 shkolim for a slave, which does not happen if a fire burns them up. One may not benefit from the ox sentence to be killed. It's all the same as before, and these are all not applicable by fire. And also, a new point, one is liable for handing over an ox to a cheresh. Oh, they don't like the word lunatic, right? Take that out. Insane or child. The stringency of fire over, okay, so that is an added one, and now that depends, you're liable for handing over an ox to a cheresh shedu katan, which is not so by fire, depending on which opinion you hold, like exactly what kind of fire you gave it to them, and that's kind of the connection to the previous sugya. Now what's the stringency of fire of an ox? Again, that a fire is muad from the beginning. That's the stringency that has over that. Finally, the third statement of brisa, there are stringencies of fire over a pit and vice versa. Stringencies of a pit over, stringencies of a pit over a fire. A pit is prone to damage from the beginning, and one is liable for handing over a pit to a cheresh, insane, or a child. Fix that up. Okay, stringency of a pit over a fire. The pit, its nature is to move and damage, and is liable even for things unfitting for it to consume. So, a fire, if a fire burns things that are not normally combustible, like normally if it burns hay, wheat, wood, things like that, but Yerchaim, even if it burns things that are usually not consumed, like a utensil, like a cup, a plate, usually you don't put in a fire. So you pay for that, which is not the case of a pit. A pit doesn't have those stringencies. It doesn't move in damage, and it's not liable for things unfitting it for to consume if it should fall in and break. Okay, that's what we learned last week. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the Gemara, and it's going to be rotating mainly around one issue. Okay, well, okay, we're all ready to go. Now Gemara asks a question on the Braisa. So we're listing Velisni, and let's also add one more stringency. It seems like the Braisa left out a stringency that an ox has over a pit. It listed four of them, but it seems to be missing one of the stringency that an ox has over a pit. And what is that? Velisni, and let the Braisa teach us also, Chomer Bishor Mibobor, that what an ox is more stringent than a pit in this way as well. Why did the Braisa not mention the following? Shashor chiev bo es hakelim. When an ox gores or damages or kicks or whatever, it's chayev even if it damages utensils, right? And that's what Rashi says. Im shibran benegicha, if he breaks it with goring, o bebeita, with kicking, she tolada de Karen, which is a tolda of Karen. And we know kalim ein reuim le'eish, and you, now, I don't know why Rashi puts this in there. I said last time utensils are not fit for a fire. Shein derech lasif kalim, you don't usually throw them in the fire. But even though we're talking about an ox and a pit, okay. But you see, by an ox, if he destroys utensils, he pays. Ma she'ein kein bebor, which is not the case of a pit. A pit does not pay if utensils break in it. As footnote 8 adds, if an ox gored or kicked utensils or broke them, the owner of the ox is liable. As such, damage is a case of Karen, goring being a case of an ob and kicking a tolda. By contrast, the owner of a pit is exempt from liability for damage caused to utensils that fall into it. Okay. As we learned from the rabbis, it says shor and chamor, shor velo kalim, chamor velo adam. The Torah said, if an ox or a donkey falls into a pit, the Torah says if an ox or a donkey falls into a pit, why do we need to have two examples to exclude things? Gemara says, an ox comes to exclude utensils you don't pay, and you don't pay if a person gets killed for falling in a pit. So those are the exclusions. So the Gemara is asking the obvious question. If we're already talking about the stringencies that an ox has over a pit, why did we not include the stringency that an ox pays for utensils it breaks, and a pit does not? Correct? That's a question. Yes? Good? It was a kind of just frozen today. We're all right. Just a little shake of the head just shows that it acknowledged. You don't. If it, right? So why didn't we mention that as another stringency that an ox has over a pit? So the only answer that the Gemara could think of, Hamani, who is this Braisa like? This Braisa must be reflecting a specific opinion for it not to have said that difference. And what is that? That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, as Rashi says, Pluk did Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. There's a machlok as Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Vaperk Shor Shinagach as a part. In the fifth chapter, on Daf Nun Gimel Amabes, it's a machlok as. Even I just told you that what the rabbi's opinion was, that the extra word shor comes to exclude if utensils are broken in a pit, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that opinion. Dimachayev al niske kalim babor. He says that you are chayev to pay if utensils get damaged in a pit. So therefore, if you're chayev, so there is no difference between an ox and a pit. An ox pays for breaking utensils, and a pit, you pay for breaking utensils, and that's why the Braisa didn't say that difference. Footnote number 9. Vishu is cited as disputing the majority view of the sages and holding that one is liable for damaged utensils that fall into his pit. So very good. So he's saying that the first set of differences between an ox and a pit did not mention that an ox pays for utensil and a pit does, because it's going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says you do pay for utensil to get broken pit, and it's not like the majority opinion of the rabbis. That means this Bryce is not going according to the rabbis. That's the only answer we have so far. Because according to the rabbis, it should have been listed as another difference. That's the answer. However, the Gemara comes back and says, that's not such a great answer. Because let's look later on in this Bryce. The Gemara asks, E, Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to tell me that the Bryce is like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why in the first case, there's no difference between an ox and a pit. Because they both pay for utensils. So then we got to be Rabbi Yehuda consistently throughout the Bryce's. So let's look at the next part of the Brysa, or the last part of the Brysa, Amos Abel. Let's consider the final case of the Brysa. What did the final case of the Brysa say? Chomer Bebeish Mibabor. They told us the stringencies that fire has over a pit. And one of the, and he's repeating the whole thing now, She'esh Darka Leila Lahazik, that fire goes along and damages, and also, Umuad lechol ba'davar haroylo ubeidavar shein haroylo, and it's a muad you have to pay to consume both items that are fit for it and items that are not fit for it. When a fire consumes, you pay for things that normally burn and things you normally don't put in a fire, such as utensils, right? Masha ein kein, which is not the case, but bore by a pit does not pay. What doesn't pay for things that aren't fit? So what does it mean, fit and not fit? Gemara is now elaborating its assumption of what the Braisa meant. Dovar aroiloi mainenu. What does it mean, something that is fit for a fire? What is fit to be consumed in a fire? Obviously it is eitzim, wood. Okay, if a fire burns on wood, you pay. But it also pays for what? Dovar shein roilo. What's something that's not fit for a fire? Mainenu, what is it? Obviously it is kalim, utensils. It's not common to fuel a fire with utensils. So what's the last part of the Brisa saying? That a fire is stricter than a pit. That a fire you pay even if it damages utensils. Which the Brisa then concludes, ma she'ein kein b'bor, which is not the case by a pit. Meaning to say what? That a pit does not pay for what? Does not pay for utensils. Wait a minute, pit does not pay for utensils, but why didn't we say earlier in the first case the difference between an ox and a pit was that the ox pays for utensil pit? Now we say, no, that was Rabbi Yehuda. So if we said that in the beginning, so E, Rabbi Yehuda, if the first case of the price was like Rabbi Yehuda, and we did not say a difference between an ox and a pit, because they both pay for utensils, and that's what you're telling me. We skip 1 second. What happened? See, he's so fragile. You just make one little touch. And it just went and skipped 5 lines. I don't know what happened. Let's go again here. Sensitive. Computers are like people. They're very sensitive. You just touch them the wrong way. Look what they do to you. Touch them the wrong way.
My finger hit part of the screen by mistake.
I'm just saying. E, Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda again. Ha Amra, Machai. I don't know why he's jumping it. Ha Amra, it's not catching at all. Ha Amra, Machai for Rabbi Yehuda on Niske Kalim and Bor. Rabbi Yehuda says you are Machai for Niske Kalim and Bor. Okay, so now it won't work out. So now we have a problem. We really have, what really we've boiled it down to is we don't have a good way of explaining the entire Brisa. The entire Brisa doesn't sing very well. And the boys have been able to manage that there's not one working marker.
Really?
Not one working.
There isn't any other room, Rabbi.
I know. So hang on.
I'm going to put this on hold.
I have a question. Why do we even concern ourselves with whether it's fit or not fit for a fire? I mean, if it whatever it damages, whether it's something you would normally burn or not, why is it relevant? It damages.
Because we see, You're right, so you pay for it, but it's not like a pit that doesn't pay for utensils. We see the rabbi said, so we're just saying that's how it's different than a pit, that's all.
But this statement about not fit for a fire, because it's not common to use utensils for fuel, who cares?
In other words, it doesn't matter what it burns, you pay for it.
Right.
As opposed to a pit, where it does matter what it damages. By a pit, according to the Rabbanan, you know, not everything that gets damaged in a pit, you pay for it. So we're talking about stringencies that an ox and a fire has over a pit. And one of those could be, if you pay for anything it damages, it's different than a pit that you don't pay for anything that it damages. Just like a utensil doesn't usually walk. It's not fit to be damaged. It doesn't walk. An ox is fit to be damaged because it walks into a hole. Utensils aren't fit to be damaged. They don't walk into a hole. So we have to contrast that. So again, so case one of the brisa, there's no difference between what? Between an ox and a pit. Case three was telling us the difference between a fire and a pit. So basically the problem is like this. By fire and a pit, we say that a fire, you pay for what did it say? Uncommon, right? Not for uncommon.
Unfit
for being burnt. Pay for unfit. Pit, no. We think unfit means utensils. Pit, no for utensils. Okay, that clearly is being said, right? That's clearly the opinion of who? Now remember, it's an argument by Pit. Do you pay for utensils that get broken in a pit or not? The rabbis say no. Rabbi Yehuda says yes, you do pay. Alright? So now, clearly, we said by case one, why didn't we say another stringency that an ox pays for anything, even utensils in a pit not? He said, that's like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a pit, yes, pays. But if it's like Rabbi Yehuda here, then it's asking like Rabbi Yehuda in case three. But here we say a fire pays even for things that it's not fit, which would mean utensils. And if there it says a pit, no, does not pay utensils. So it seems that case one is like Rabbi Yehuda, it would seem, and case three is like the rabbis. And that cannot work in one brisa to have two separate, that fits only according to two separate opinions. That is the point of this brisa that we're stuck on. Okay. Anybody got questions? Again, the strictness of an ox and a pit did not mention the strictness of utensils, that utensils pay by an ox and not by a pit. So that could only fit like Rabbi Yehuda. Here we do make this distinction between paying for utensils or not. It only fits like the rabbis. So now we're stuck. Where are we going to take this? That's where we're up to, and that's what the notes tell us. Question, point four. The brisa should also teach that an ox is liable for kalim, utensils, but a pit is not. Answer the brisa like Yehuda, who obligates a pit also for kalim. Objection from the Seifa. A fire is liable even for things unfitting for it to consume, but a pit is not. And now they're just advancing the question. Question we're saying, what is considered fit and unfit for the fire to consume? Answer, wood is fit and kalim are unfit. Conclusion of objection. Since the brisa exempts a pit, it cannot be like Rabbi Yehuda. So now we've got a contradiction between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Seifa goes according to the Chachamim. So how are you going to work it out? That's what we're stuck on. So there's always going to be two ways to figure out the answer. Really, it's always like the rabbis, but we have to answer up what's the problem with the first case, or like it's Rabbi Yehuda, we have to explain what's the problem with the third case. So there are two ways that we're going to come up with an answer. So let's see what the Gemara is going to say. Ella, this is answer number one. The Gemara is going to give two possible ways to explain the brisa. Ella, we could say, Liolam Rabbanan Hi. We could say it's always the rabbis. So what's the problem if you say it's the rabbis? Which part's the problem? Case one. Why was there no distinction made between an ox and a pit? When an ox pays for utensils, a pit not. Look at Rashi. Udekashalach, we had that question. Lisni, let's say, Chomer Bishor, that an ox is stricter. Shechaibos, okay, he pays for utensils? So you know what the court's gonna answer? You're really not gonna like this answer, Shelley. The answer is, Elel Rabbanani, Vitana Vishier. Vitana and the Tana taught, Vishier and left out. In other words, the Brisa, a rabbi doesn't always list every single difference that exists. The style of the rabbi is to say a number of differences, but doesn't have to say every single difference. That's the Gemara's answer. And you find this many times. Just because he lists the ones that he felt were necessary. Maybe there's a chiddush in there, maybe not a chiddush in there, whatever. Why he did, but that is the style of the Tana to do such a thing. So the fact that you're right, there is another difference. That an ox pays for damages to the utensil while Pitt doesn't. But, you know, for whatever reason, the rabbi left it out. And it's not his job to list a thorough listing. It gave a number of listings, but not all of them. That's Gemara's answer. But Gemara's not so happy with that answer because there's a little problem with that. Can't just say that answer. He just left it out. Because Gemara now asks the following question. My Shayar, what else did he leave out? Dehai Shier, in addition to leaving out this one, to say that he has left it out. What does that mean? So footnote 12 will help us out over here. There is a generally accepted principle that a Tana does not offer an incomplete list when it lacks only one item to complete it. In other words, you could say he doesn't list everything, but that's if there's a lot of things to not list. Right. But if there's only one thing he left out, you don't leave out one thing. You could say, well, listen, it's a lot for people to remember. He didn't want to list everything. He wants to say there's differences between an ox and a pit. Okay, I'll list you a few ones. There's so many, he doesn't have to list them all. But if he listed them all, and there was just one more to list, so then why don't you list that one? That's the kind of rule. There are another 10 to list, or a number of them, okay, he's not going to list them all. But just to leave one out, that doesn't make sense. Thus, if we are to explain the Bryce's list as being incomplete, there must be some other difference that was omitted as well. And that's the Gemara's question, my Shire, the high Shire. What was also left out? You have to come up with at least something else that was left out to say that this is also left out. So Gemara says, don't worry, we'll give you another one. And there is one that we learned long ago when we learned Eila Metzius. And that is the following. Shire, you know what else he left out? There is a difference between an ox and a fire. Tamun, concealed items. Which is, we remember when that long ago?
Yeah.
When a fire, we had that in a number of cases.
You hid your iPod.
It was one of the first cases in the Parakakones when we were in grade 6.
Yeah.
We learned Akones. If a person makes a fire and burns in the guy's field, you pay for everything.
Except.
However, by the wording of the Torah, it tells us an exception is anything that were concealed in the farm is covered up by something, you don't pay for it. It's a decree from the Torah. You don't pay for tamun. Now, what if an ox, for example, is goring a whole bunch of things, and then there's a box, and inside the box is a vase. Now, that was hidden. So what if an ox destroys something that was hidden? There's no exclusion by an ox, but there is an exclusion by fire. So now we have another case that is another difference between an ox and fire, and a pit. An ox doesn't pay, an ox pays.
Fire. Tamun.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, in other words, in the Brisa, further on in the Brisa, in other words, we left out a case between ox and pit here, because that's one thing that's left out, because we also left out another thing, and later in the Brisa, between ox and fire, that was also another thing. So you see, not all the differences have been listed. You have one over here, one over there, there's a few things that aren't listed, so they left that out as well. So Shire Tamun, he left out Tamun. And if you want the more detail, look at the Rashi. Rashi says, the Havale Lemisik, because the Brisa should also have listed this difference, Chomer Bishor Ubor Mebe'esh, the stringency that ox and pit, separately, have over fire. Shim Ba'at Shor Besak, if an ox kicks a bag, Mole Kalim full of utensils, Vishavru Chayv, you have to pay. Oh, im nafal chamor bebor, if an axe falls into a pit, v'olav sak molei tvua, an anim is a bag full of grain, chayiv, you have to pay, apel gav the tum of a sack, even though it's hidden in the sack. So by ox and pit, you do pay for what's hidden. Masha'en came be'esh, which is not the story by fire, the nafkalon, we learn from the words, may o hakama, or the standing grain, and standing grain is something that you can see, you only pay for what's revealed by fire, but not for what's hidden. So there was two more cases of the difference between pit and fire, and ox and fire, where the other two pay for hidden things and fire it up. So we see we've left out a few things. So now we could say it's like the rabbis. Statement number one, it's like the rabbis. Why do you put this? Because they left it out. They don't put everything in. But what is put in, you can't deny. What was put in, by case three, a fire pays for utensils, a pit doesn't. That's clearly the rabbi's position. It's clearly not Rabbi Yehuda. So to make it consistent, we say this is clearly the rabbis. We can't make this not be the rabbis. So we say the difference between ox and pit of utensils, which is true, but they didn't mention it. They don't have to mention everything. And that's the answer. Is that the best answer in the world? No, but that's the best we got. So that's answer number one. Okay, so this braisa is like the rabbis, clearly because of the third source, where fire pays for utensils, pit does not. Why do we mention in case one? We didn't mention case one because they left out a few things. As we see, they left out the difference between hidden items that you pay for by axe and pit, which you do not pay by fire. So that's answer number one, that it really goes like the rabbis. Okay. Answer number two. E boys Ema, if you want, I can say another answer. Le'olam Rabbi Yehuda. This is really like Rabbi Yehuda. We're like Rabbi Yehuda. What was bothering you? Was bothering you here, it says the fire pays for fit and unfit, which a pit does not. And we assumed that unfit meant utensils. The Brisa didn't say utensils. The Brisa said unfit. We assumed what's unfit for a fire? Utensils. But maybe you could think of something else that's unfit for a fire that doesn't have to be utensils. And maybe it's utensils would not be what the Brisa is referring to. Do you hear? The Brisa just said, a fire you pay for fit and unfit. A pit you don't. Okay, so now what does... So that's what Brisa said. Gemara said, well, what's fit? Well, fit is wood. What's unfit? Utensils. So you pay for utensils for fire. You don't pay by fit. But maybe there's another unfit that is not... Maybe the Brisa wasn't referring to utensils. Maybe it's referring to something else that's not fit that you pay for when a fire damages.
So how did we come up with utensils?
That's what we just
Gemara just assumed. The Gemara made an assumption. The Brisa says you pay for fit and unfit. What's fit and unfit by a fire? Wood is fit. Utensils, you don't throw utensils into the fire. And you pay for that. And we said, well, that's all. But by a pit, you do. Gemara says, wait a minute. Maybe not. Pit you don't pay for utensils. Where's the no? Vidavar Shane Royaloi La Suyamai. So what did the Brisa mean when it says items that are not fit for it? We thought it was utensils, but maybe it's the following. Ella La Suya, you know what we included by a fire? Lichecha Niro. If the fire licked up another person's plowed field, what if a guy plows a field? It's now ready to plant. But sometimes a fire can go over a field even though you don't have corn and stuff like that. But the fact that fire goes over a plowed field, it messes up the entire plowing. And that's a damage. And that's unfit. Fire doesn't burn off of earth. But it's like it scorched the earth. And now that earth isn't usable. And then you pay for that. And that's not usually what feeds a fire. Or, another example, or it scorched his stones, where the stones were nice and white and pretty stones, and now they got black and charred, which is to damage them as well. So maybe that's what the Brisa was referring to. Unfit was not utensils, but was the earth or the stones. That's what you pay for, which obviously in a pit, it's not applicable. It's not applicable. But we're talking about utensils. Maybe utensils, you paid for both. Like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe like both. So that's the other way of answering the question. So right now we have two ways of understanding the Braisa. Two ways. If you want to say the Braisa is like the Rabbanan, then we say that the case three is learned the way we thought it was. Alright? So we have answer one. The entire Braisa is the Rabbanan. What's the problem? We have to answer case one. Case one, not all differences listed. Listed, as well as we already know, Tamun, hidden, is also not listed. And that way we make the whole Braisa go according to the rabbis. Answer number two, that the whole Braisa could be like Rabbi Yehuda. And case one fits perfectly according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we didn't leave anything out, and there is no difference because they both pay for utensils. Nothing was left out. But rather we had to modify what is unfit in case three. Unfit refers to not utensils, but land and stones. So which answer is more pressed, do you think? Do you want to learn the Mishnah like the rabbis and say that a number of items were left out? Or do you want to learn that it's like Rabbi Yehuda, but when it says fit and unfit, it wasn't referring to utensils as unfit, but rather land and stones, which is unfit. But yes, utensils you would pay by a pit. Each one isn't ideal.
Yeah, exactly.
But the question is, do you want to learn the price as leaving out things? Or re-understanding the word unfit. Those are the two ways to learn the Braisa up to this point. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now let's just look at the notes on that.
That's a stronger answer than
yeah.
two.
Yeah.
I mean, saying you left stuff out is kind of a combo.
But it does happen throughout.
But it's applicable because we found something else.
But you
yeah,
do.
I know, but it's
you,
still weak.
And obviously.
But it's applicable.
Hold on now. Even going to Rabbi Yehuda, you'll have to admit that the Mishnah left out things.
Yeah.
Didn't leave out Tamun?
Sure did. Yeah.
And now, it's even going to be a bigger problem if you think about it. They left out one thing. Why didn't it mention the one?
Yeah.
We know now Tamun was left out, don't we?
Yeah.
Why was it left out? According to the rabbis, very good, because they left out more than
but
one.
Wait. According to Rabbi Yehuda.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, he only left out one thing.
But what is his law with Tamun?
We'd have to see. Does he argue about Tamun
yes,
or not?
He definitely does.
Okay, so that's another thing to think about.
He definitely does.
Okay, anyway, let's just finish up the notes here. So answer number one, we said, where am I?
It says Tana Shire, and it's Shire Tamun.
So answer two, rather, answer number one was rejected. Answer two, rather, the Braisa is like the Chachamim. The Braisa did not list all the stringencies. Defense. Okay, and I really left out a point here. There was a question, what else was left out, and it also left out Tamun. Okay, so I'll have to add that afterwards. Defense of answer number one, really the Braisa can be like Rabbi Yehuda. We can answer the question of point number seven as follows. It obligates a fire even for things unfitting for it to consume, which is referring to scorching a plowed field or rocks, and it's not referring to utensils. So that's the two ways to learn the Braisa. Tomorrow, we're going to have a question that has to be answered, and we're going to knock one of these two opinions out. We're going to knock one of these two opinions out tomorrow. Okay.
Just another question. You said if the donkey falls in the pit, and it's got a bag of grain or something on it,
yeah.
Not the donkey, but the ox, and the grain is lost.
Again, what's the case?
The ox falls into a pit.
Okay.
A bag of grain, not utensils.
But you pay for that. Because only them. Utensils was excluded.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. If you pay for the damaged load, what's the difference of the load is?
Okay. That's a good question.
Well, it depends what the load is.
Why? You pay for the damaged load. I don't know what's the load. If it's glass, if it's utensils, if it's grain.
Shelley's saying if you're already excluding loads, exclude all loads.
Either that or pay for all those. I think you should pay for all those.
But usually, you see, I guess that in the old days, it was much more common to carry produce on mules than kaling.
Okay, but what's the difference? If I choose to load up my ox...
So I think it's like this. When you're digging a pit, We hold her responsible for common accidents.
Yeah.
A common accident is a cow falling into the pit. What a cow commonly carries into the pit, which would be wheat and stuff like that, commonly. Mm-hmm. But things that it doesn't commonly carry in, that we're not going to hold you responsible for. And I guess putting utensils isn't as common. That's the best answer I could think of right now. It's a good question.
If it was a donkey instead of an ox?
No.
A donkey is still responsible.
You pay for a donkey, you pay for an ox.
But why did the Torah say both? That's why.
Why don't you pay for a person, for example? Why don't you pay for a person? Because a person should see where he's going.
Yeah.
The person didn't see where he was going. You should still, because you put it. But no, you know what? I did. It's not common for a person to fall into a pit. It is common for a dumb animal, an ox.
You still have an obligation to put something around him.
Yes, but if he does get damaged, the human being, you don't pay for him. Mm-hmm. He gets killed, you don't pay for him. Ah, it's your fault. What do you mean? The guy should have looked. It's not common when I dig a pit that a guy's going to fall in. Well, on the other hand, so what's common? An ox, a donkey. But also, what do they commonly carry? Wheat, yeah, stuff like that.
Who cares what it's carrying?
Okay. Right. Again, then who cares who falls in?
You're right. Yeah,
but the Torah does. The Torah does say, we have to go to that Gemara. We have to go to the fifth parak where the rabbis make this difference and see what's based on. That's what we have to look into that Gemara.
Thank you.
Okay, Shkayach, guys.